according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "No disciple is above his master, above his teacher, no slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple to become like his teacher, for the slave that he become like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more those of his household? Therefore, do not be afraid of them. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. Nothing is secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? And not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hair on your head is counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this feast of St. Benedict, we think about what God had asked him to do, founding the Benedictine order, which really is the paradigm for all religious orders in the church that have flowed from it. And he said that what he was doing was forming for God a school of divine service. That all that he was hoping to do there was to have a school in which people would learn how effectively to serve the Lord. We prayed in the opening prayer today that he was a master in the school of divine service. He was one who had learned from Jesus the teacher, and then he was passing on that sacred science to others. We know that in that school there were three aspects of it. First was aura. He would say he was forming them for divine service by the Opus Dei, by the work of God. And that meant first prayer, meant the liturgy of the hours. It meant bringing the entire day into the beautiful praise of God. The second was labora. Prior to St. Benedict, type of work in the fields, all this manual work, was considered something that only slaves did. It wasn't considered a way of praising God. And Benedict came and said, no, this is integrally related to our aura. Aura et labora go together. That the way we pray influences the way we pray our work, and the way we pray our work, offering it as the first fruits of Abel to God, that influences how we pray. If we're doing shoddy work, we're going to be doing shoddy prayer. If we're doing shoddy prayer, a lot of the times we're going to be totally distracted in work, doing it for reasons other than the service of God. And the third, which very few people know about, I don't know why, but when you go to St. Paul's Outside the Walls, the great place where St. Paul is buried, which was administered by the Benedictines for almost 1400 years, in their beautiful cloister, you've got these mosaic sayings from the rule of St. Benedict all around. You can see it there. Ora et labora et. Can you fill it out? Do you know what the last one is? Come on, let's get Sister Magdalene involved. She's the superior. Ora et labora et studium. Study. That's this zealous trying to learn from the master. Again, a tremendous way to serve the Lord. Once you get to know him deeply so that you can love him, and so that you likewise can become masters in the school of divine service, and teach other students along the way how to align their life more and more closely to the master. Now, it should be no surprise that if Benedict did this, he learned it from the Lord himself. And today we see the end of this great commission, this great class Jesus had been given to the apostles before he first sent them out. This is the dramatic conclusion. Talked over the course of this week that it was all about forming and conforming them to the Lord. And Jesus makes it explicit today. No disciple is above his teacher. It's enough that the disciple become like his teacher. And if they have said that the master of the house is possessed by Beelzebul, how much more will they say it of those in his household? You're going to be insulted, just like I was insulted. But this is a way in which you become more and more like me. And I was saying to your consorelle across the island yesterday that when Jesus, for example, tells us, deny yourself, pick up your cross every day and follow me, none of us are like, okay, awesome, let's get down to work. A lot of times it goes against the grain. And so what we need is the Lord's help, and he gives it to us. For example, by people who call us Beelzebul, or worse, as only New Yorkers can. Jesus goes on a little bit later about the Father's love. Yesterday Jesus said when we were dragged between governors and kings and Sanhedrins and others, it would be the Spirit of our Father speaking in us. Not just God speaking, not just the Holy Spirit speaking, but the Spirit of your Father would be the great time where divine filiation would be honed to its zenith. And Jesus reminds us of that. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. And you are worth more than many sparrows. So because of this school of divine service, this school of divine love, this place where we pray, where we work for him, where we study, and we pass on the fruits of that study to others, Jesus tells us, therefore, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. A lot of the times our greatest fears all flow from staurophobia and thanophobia. From the fear of the cross and what the cross leads to, fear of death. Which is one of the reasons why the Imitation of Christ and so many great spiritual works over the course of centuries, to a real classic written 4 years ago, by Cardinal Regali 2 days before he would retire, say that every day we should wake up and treat that day as if it's the last day we're ever going to live. Because once we're dead, nobody can threaten us. I remember once when people were threatening me, I just said in a totally disarmed tone, do you realize all you can do is kill me? You can't do anything more. And the person had to think about that. And the person recognized I was not afraid of that. And then the person became really afraid of me. Jesus is clear. He wants us to give witness in the light. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And know that there's an incredible gift that comes. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. Just think about that today, sisters. You, by your public profession that Jesus crucified is still the fairest of the children of men, but Jesus poor is your treasure, that Jesus chaste is the greatest lover the human person has ever known, that Jesus obedient is the source of real freedom, that Jesus in others is the real joy of community life, that Jesus in the unborn, growing in their occasionally fearful mother's wounds, is worth the whole price of the Lord Jesus' crucifixion. By your acknowledging Jesus in all of these ways and more before others, Jesus is acknowledging you today before the Father, not just before the Father, for the Holy Spirit, for the Blessed Mother, for all the angels and saints, for Saint Benedict and Saint Scholastica, before them all. Continue to acknowledge without fear. We also see this school of the Master service in today's first reading. Every once in a while I get a little bit hijacked when I'm listening to readings, when I see something that I had never seen before. It was because of Sister Gianna's passionate reading of the book of Genesis that I saw something, and I was so distracted I didn't even hear the responsorial psalm. This scene that we have is the prototype for the parable of the prodigal son, but it's real. After Jacob was dying, all the brothers who had already, in a sense, been forgiven by Joseph by all that he had done, he had shown them, but they yet hadn't received that mercy from Joseph, who had received it from the Lord who had saved his life. And so they were all afraid. And so they approached. Before your father died, he gave us these instructions. Say to Joseph, Jacob begs you to forgive the criminal wrongdoing your brothers who treated you so cruelly. Therefore, please forgive the crime that we, the servants of your father's God, committed. Let us be your slaves. You can hear the echo. Just treat me like one of your hired hands. They still hadn't been penetrated by the Lord's mercy, which is the most important lesson in the Master's school. They just wanted to be treated like slaves, at least they would survive, whereas they weren't ready yet to be treated like beloved brothers, because they still didn't yet have that fraternal love. And Joseph gives a really beautiful principle. Even though you meant me harm, God meant it for good, to achieve his present end, the survival of many. Therefore, have no fear. I will provide for you and for your children. Even though they had sought to take his life, Joseph was going to give his life back, and he would use all that he had in order to provide, just like we see in that parable of the prodigal son. They were still dead when they were approaching their brother, but their brother was going to bring them to life by sharing with them what God had meant for good. And you know, the shocker in all of this is the line of the tribe of Judah, descended from Judah, who had sought to kill his brother. All the priests descended from Levi. We can go on and on and on and on and on. Then the root of the Lord's historical school, we have this incredible act of fratricidal intent. And the Lord, from that, was able to found a people. A people. Today, as we come forward, we turn to the Master in this school of divine service. We ask him to help us, like Saint Benedict, as he finishes his rule, to put nothing before the love of Christ. This love which is merciful, this love which inspires, this love which gives us what we need to pray loving, to work passionately, and to study so that we can get to know the object of our love better and bring so many others to fall in love with him who died out of love for them. Saint Benedict, pray for us.